opinions expressed on this podcast do not necessarily reflect those of the management of Louisville.am and Veritas New Media, a Louisville.am production.
Robbing and shooting and raping and killing, bloody murder, molesting, running airplanes into buildings. Every time I turn around, something else is going wrong. Yeah, tell me, what the hell is going on?
Welcome to the Rusty Satellite Show with your host, Rick Redding. The show airs every week exclusively here on the Louisville.am podcast network. Rick's ready to start ranting and raving about his hometown right now. So here's Rick.
And welcome into the Rusty Satellite Show, the home of the most interesting people in the Ville. This is your host, Rick Redding, back for the 126th consecutive week. And of course, been hobbled a bit by my foot surgery. Those of you, many of you are probably tired of hearing about it, but you got one big thing this week with my first guest. But first, I'm going to tell you what to look forward to in the second part of the show, and that would be a visit from Liz Dahl, who runs a website called Boomer Travel Patrol. And she, like me, is we have a lot in common, I learned. We're both, she's an only child, I'm an only child. She, in the last few years, lost her remaining parent and is sort of faced with she has a history in the public relations business and the travel business. And recently, a couple of years ago, about the time the Rusty Satellite Show got started, she started Boomer Travel Patrol. And that is a heck of an interesting business. Gets her to do a lot of traveling around the country, around the world. And you're going to hear a little bit about that with Liz Dahl. I want to tell you a little bit about the show this week. Liz came over to my house, actually Paula's house in J-Town, and recorded the show with me. And that's sort of what I'm doing. I'm getting a little bit more mobile, but my first guest you'll find interesting is my doctor, Dr. George Quill, who is an amazing guy who has does a lot of great humanitarian work in town. You may have seen a story about him on WDRB recently where he contributes time and effort to the Healing Place, one of my favorite charities, and in fitting people with new shoes. And he is, I really got some insight of, I guess I've been to four appointments now, and really, you know, he's one of my favorite people. Of course, he's fixed my foot, and we talk about that in the interview. And Dr. Quill also has was featured in The Voice magazine, I guess it was in September, about his mission work to Guatemala, which we talk about in the interview. So yeah, he's a very interesting guy. He's the best in the business. When I had this problem with my foot, I asked around, and everywhere I turned, when the subject came to feet and ankles, George Quill's name came up. So he's the guy. He's the best in the business. And November 16th, he operated on my foot, and I took the opportunity. It was an odd request for him, I'm sure, to ask him to be a guest on the Rusty Satellite Show during my appointment, my follow up appointment. He since put a nice cast on, and right before Christmas, I'm going to get to see him again and get a walking cast, I hope, and start driving again, I hope. So we'll see how that goes. But right now, I want to share with you my interview with Dr. George Quill.
As a first-time mom, I have to admit, I really didn't know what to expect. But the people at Passport did. Besides covering me and my baby for maternity care and checkups, they offered me extra rewards for things I really needed, like gift cards so I could buy a crib or car seat, and gift cards for groceries and gas. All I had to do to earn these rewards was join their Mommy Steps program for new moms and keep my doctor's appointments, things I was going to do anyway. When they say, we take the time to care, they really mean it. That's why I choose Passport.
Why will you choose Passport? Call 1-800-578-0603. That's 1-800-578-0603. And choose Passport. 1-800-578-0603. Passport Health Plan. We take the time to care.
And this is a very unusual episode of the Rusty Satellite Show. I'm here probably the first time that Dr. George Quill has done a radio interview while he's fixing somebody's foot.
This
right?
is correct.
Dr. Quill, welcome to the show. How am I doing there? You're taking a look at my leg.
Well, I don't know if I can answer all those questions without violating HIPAA.
Okay.
No, as long as you'll be with you.
Yeah.
You're doing fantastic. I'm seeing him back 2 weeks after he had major surgery, really, to fuse his right ankle.
Okay.
He had terrible arthritis in his ankle that he'd somehow managed and was stubborn enough to live with for years. But what we've done is literally cut all the arthritis out of there, realign it so it's good for walking in the future, and glue the two together.
Okay. Okay, so, yeah, I was screwed up for a long time and had a lot of trouble, but how soon before I'm back on the racquetball court is the big question.
Well, the nice thing about an ankle fusion as opposed to a replacement is that it's very durable. You could be as active as you wish, but it does take probably 12 weeks to heal. As you can already figure out, the soreness is gone because the metal is in there holding things together. But what we'll do today is clean it up. We've taken the sutures out. We'll put you in a little cast. And I want to keep you non-weight bearing for 6 weeks, and then the second 6 weeks you'll be in a walking cast.
Okay. So that's four more weeks, not six from here.
Four from here until you get the walking cast.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
And then, you could be on a stationary bike with the cast on, that kind of thing. You can do some weights. You can do some quads and hams, but I don't want you to weight bear for another month.
Okay. Well, very good. Well, enough about me. I think I'm on the road to recovery, but I was referred to you by more than one source as the top. Like this type of surgery, I understand you're one of the only doctors in the area that does it, right?
Well, I'm sure there's others, but I think I was one of the first in the area.
Okay.
Yeah, after 4 years of college, 4 years of med school, 5 years of orthopedics, I did an extra year of what's called a subspecialty orthopedic fellowship at Johns Hopkins in foot and ankle reconstruction.
Okay. And so you obviously had this interest in the foot. Now, I want to talk about some of your charitable works. I know we saw in the news last week there was a great story on WDRB about your work with the Healing Place. Tell me a little bit about that charitable organization and what you do with it.
The Healing Place, I always felt like, you know, especially this time of year, there's a lot of people in need, of course, but I always felt like I could make more of an impact if I just kind of centered on one charity. Mm-hmm. And my favorite local is the Healing Place because of the work they do there. They help, you know, they reach out to the homeless, the addicted, and they kind of give them the tools for recovery to restore
sure.
a productive life. So I occasionally will staff a Thursday afternoon clinic if there's some of the guys in the walk-ins and the overnights who need orthopedic care. Every year since 2007, I've partnered with a group called Souls, S-O-L-E-S, for Souls, S-O-U-L-S, and we've managed to donate about 120 pairs of sturdy shoes to these guys around Thanksgiving time. We also provide foot screening. A lot of them never had that before.
Right, and I'm sure that people in those situations have probably worse problems than people like me.
We do see that. We see the sequelae of trauma, infection. A lot of it is just neglect, though. I mean, these people are out beating the streets, and they're doing, you know, they're working through the recovery process. They're going to meetings. They're trying to look for jobs, and if your feet hurt, you hurt all over, you know.
That's right. Well, that's great work, and, you know, while we're on the subject of good works, I know that when I saw the Voice magazine last fall, you were featured in there for your Guatemalan mission work, and that's just really an amazing thing because, as a doctor, I'm sure you got the maybe not the time, but the money to go anywhere you want to do anything you want to do, but you go down to Guatemala and help people, right?
I looked for years for a way to give back, and it's one thing to go to a foreign country and hand out vitamins and eyeglasses. I was looking for a way to function as a fully functioning orthopedic surgeon, and this group sent Children of the Americas is very well organized. They're based out of Lexington, but there's docs, nurses, support staff, pharmacists, dentists who come from all over the country. I go twice a year, a lot once a year, but we basically take over a national hospital down there and for a week. We spend 8 or 9 days screening people and providing full services. I did 31 surgeries in 4 days last year. And then I go back about 6 weeks later to provide follow-up.
Wow. So are those surgeries, they're not like mine. They're, I mean, what
kind of surgeries do people down there need?
Well, the hardest thing to do is tell someone I can't help them, and I have to be very careful I don't bite off more than I can chew. Although we bring a lot of good tools, we often have limited resources, too. I don't want to do too much surgery and then leave the country.
Right.
But I'm reminded of one young girl. She's about six. She spoke neither Spanish nor English. She spoke one of the Quiche, which is one of the ancient Mayan dialects. And she was running all over the clinic with the crookedest darn leg you'd ever see. Beautiful little girl. And I'm thinking, oh, it might be too much to bite off here if I try and straighten her leg and then leave. But then I thought, well, what if I don't? She's not going to have anyone available to do that for her. She'd be a beggar the rest of her life. Women are already second-class citizens down there, unfortunately. So we did do a realignment of her entire leg and casted her, and she did fantastic. And hopefully we've made a big difference in her life. A lot of what we see is infection, cerebral palsy, benign neglect, neglected trauma. They don't have the same access to primary health care and perinatal care that we do. A lot of them are things we take for granted. You know, if a kid's born with a club foot here, they get casted and they're walking by the time they're one. I'm seeing club foot and deformity that's just terrible. It was never treated right. So I have to do bigger surgeries to get it back on their feet, literally.
Okay. Well, it's great work. You say you do it twice a year in Guatemala. And you give up your vacation, right?
That's my vacation. We always try and tack on a couple days of fun stuff at the end. The neatest part is doing it with my daughter, who's a registered nurse and working towards her nurse practitioner degree. Last year, we were in the very northern part of Guatemala, not far from the Mexican border, and we spent 2 to 3 days afterwards in Petén, which is where the ancient Mayan ruins are. We climbed the ruins and listened to the jungle wake up. It's an adventure as well. Yeah.
Sounds like it. Well, I'm looking forward to doing some hiking and stuff like that I haven't been able to do. Let's talk a bit about your local practice in here. You know, it seems to me like if I'd had my problem and tried to find help 30 years ago, I might have been, you know, just told to live with it. I mean, are there a lot of advances in what you do, able to do with people's feet?
The thing I hate hearing the most is, oh, it's just a foot kind of thing. And I think the foot and ankle has been ignored and neglected, especially by orthopedists, for a long time. It is the fastest growing segment of the orthopedic industry is foot and ankle care. It only as recently as maybe 8 to 10 years ago we've started coming up with anatomic site-specific hardware for fixing certain foot and ankle problems. In the past, we were trying to adapt something that was made maybe for a knee and turn it around and fix it in the ankle. But it is a burgeoning field. And, you know, of all the orthopedic surgeons practicing in this country, there's probably about 26,000. Mm-hmm. There are only 1,800 members of the American Orthopedic Foot and Ankle Society. So we only train about 55 fellowship-trained orthopedists a year, and we're really working on increasing those numbers.
Wow.
Also, a bigger part of the orthopedic residency training program now is centered on foot and ankle.
Okay.
So they're getting all that before they finish their five-year residency.
Okay. Well, like back to my case, you explained to me how over the years I had this gradual falling apart of my ankle, I guess. Do you see a lot of cases like this? I mean, it seems like, I blame it on all these years of playing racquetball. I guess the thing that really encouraged me to get the surgery was you telling me that if I didn't do anything, I was going to be in a wheelchair. So, is this something you see a lot, this type of thing?
I think because of the subspecialty nature of my practice within orthopedics, I do. Mm-hmm. The general orthopedist and the sports guy and the total joint guy don't really do this kind of work. And I'm always amazed at how much pain and deformity people can live with. Maybe you're as stubborn as most, but racquetball, I got to think, is terrible on the ankles when it was like yours was before, because it's just unstable and grinding all the time. I played a lot of racquetball myself when I was younger, and that's a very demanding sport. But it's not uncommon, the sequelae of trauma. We're getting better at treating it the first time around, certainly than we were 30 years ago. So hopefully not as many people will need this.
Yeah, well, I mean, it's great. I can already tell that, I think I'm going to be better. We're 2 weeks after my surgery. It looks good. And so what are we going to do today? Just tell me briefly.
Today we've already taken the sutures out and x-rayed things to make sure that everything's well aligned, and it is. We're going to clean up the skin and put you in a little short leg fiberglass cast. I'll ask that you keep your weight off it again for another 4 weeks. We'll meet again, repeat the film. If it looks well, put a walking cast on there.
Okay. So after Christmas, I'm walking in a cast.
That's right.
there you go.
I think I'm going to have to hold the reins in on you a little after that.
it's going to be tough because I'm getting a little antsy. I've watched all the TV I can watch, I think. So.
Yeah, that daytime TV will drive you nuts.
All right. Well, Dr. Quill, amazing work with me and with all the other charitable work you do. I really appreciate you taking time during our appointment. I guess I'm paying for this, so
no charge for post-op visits.
Okay, Dr. Will, thanks for being on the show.
All right, well, that was a great thing for Dr. Quill to do a Rusty Satellite Show interview during our visit the other day. I got a nice new bright red cast on my leg. At least for a couple of weeks until Christmas time, and very happy about that, and very happy about the prognosis. Some of you may have seen, if you follow me on Facebook, I posted a picture of my X-ray, and it has all these screws going in, and it really looks different and awful. And I will have those screws for the rest of my life, apparently, according to Dr. Quill. But I will also not have pain, and I will not fall over when I'm trying to walk and all that. So I'm very excited about that. And so let's move on with the show. The big news in town this week, I guess, at least to most people that get around town much, is the downtown bridge. The new downtown bridge has had a couple of things happen this week. First of all, on Saturday, you can go down there and walk across it. It'll probably be the only time you get to walk across it because, you know, there's going to be traffic on there coming very soon. And it got a name this week. It's going to be called the Abraham Lincoln Bridge, which I think is about as neutral a name as the people in charge of that could have come up with. I think Governor Beshear had the final say. And the Lincoln Bridge, I think if you have anybody more contemporary person that you name it after, that would have... That would have made it very difficult because anybody in the contemporary world would have enemies, would have people against it. It's hard to say you're against naming something after Abraham Lincoln, even though there's so many other things around town named for that are named for Lincoln. But Lincoln's history in this town and the great statue downtown, I went to the dedication of that a few years ago. It's a tremendous piece of history, and knowing that Lincoln did spend some time here in Louisville, right at the very spot where that statue is. And I think it's a good name. And now the question turns to the East End Bridge, and Indiana gets the final say on what name is going to go on that one. And so it'll be a while, but I'm not sure what Indiana will do in terms of naming the East End Bridge. Also downtown, you know, there's a ramp that just opened up. That Spaghetti Junction is getting clearer and clearer. It's less hectic to get through. And the 71 North ramp out of downtown, if you're headed east on 64, is now open and available. And that's a good thing. It's really makes it a lot easier. I had some harrowing days going through that section of the of downtown. So Spaghetti Junction's getting straightened out. I didn't think any of this stuff would ever happen, but it really is, so that's good. Some of my friends from Rusty Satellite Show, Rusty Satellite Show alumni, I like to call them, are in the news doing things. First of all, on Tuesday, it was Paul Toole's birthday. Paul was just on the show a couple weeks ago. He's the Brown-Forman executive who founded Ballantyne Whiskey, and boy, he's enjoying a lot of publicity this month. It seems like every party I turn to on Facebook has Ballantyne with it. So I've got my bottle. I'm savoring to sample during the holidays. And happy birthday to Paul, and good luck with the Ballantyne whiskey. I just saw the big story on Business First this week is about Signature Healthcare and our Rusty Satellite alumnus, Joe Steyer, who's the president and CEO. They acquired the Elmcroft nursing home chain that is going to make Signature a much larger company. They have a lot more properties, and, you know, it's all good news in the aging care industry for Joe Steyer. You might go back and look at the archives of Rusty Satellite and CEO. I remember we had a great interview over there at his J-Town offices. Signature's headquarters are right here in Jeffersontown, so that's a good thing. I posted something on Louisville KY today, and certainly would love to have you go there and understand what a pleasure and treasure it is to have Teddy Abrams in our town. He's our local orchestra conductor, and he did I don't know if you've ever seen these things before, but NPR does this thing called Tiny Desk Concerts. And I first saw it when Lyle Lovett did one, probably a year or two back. But Teddy does a if you want to see some wizardry on the piano, check out the Tiny Desk Concert from Teddy Abrams, and some really nice article accompanying the piece on NPR. So Teddy's making national headlines for us, and thought I want to point you to that in case you're interested in what's going on with Teddy. I know Paula, my girlfriend, really loves the orchestra and Teddy Abrams. They're doing some great things. Speaking of videos, there's another video that Tom Mabe did, and you know, Tom is a comedian, local comedian. He lives in the neighborhood, sort of, around here in J-Town, and Tom does these great videos almost every week, and this one is really highlights some of our, what do you say, our prejudices or our assumptions about race. It shows a group of young black guys walking through a I would say upper middle class neighborhood, and knocking on a door, and then they start singing Christmas carols. So if you get a chance to check that out, that's pretty good. Of course, you know, thinking about watching things, I have been on a tear with all this downtime watching TV. The latest I discovered, thanks to my son Josh, who turned me on to Sherlock, is a ongoing series. The episodes are an hour and a half long. It stars Benedict Cumberbatch as Sherlock Holmes, and he's great. It's very high tech, a great show. I recommend it strongly. Otherwise, the current series on Showtime, Homeland, and which I caught up with, and The Affair are really getting good as it comes down to the wire. That's the kind of stuff I like to watch. I tell you, Paula, you know, keeps wanting to watch The Voice and shows like that on TV, and I just don't have any interest. Maybe I should, but to each his own. That's what's so great. I have such a smorgasbord of things to watch. I have Amazon Prime and Netflix and Showtime and HBO here. You know, I would have hated to have been laid up and had to watch, you know, daytime network TV. That would have been tough. I watch daytime network TV every time I'm in the lobby of a TV station, it seems like, and have to watch that stuff. I feel sorry for the receptionist at the stations. I was just at, Wave a few weeks ago, and I talked to Kevin Harned and had a great talk in there about the stuff that's on daytime TV. You know, so I haven't been in the house all the time. Last week, my friend Mark Hebert and his son Andrew took me and my son Luke down to Bowling Green and saw probably maybe the best football game of the year. Western whooped up on Marshall University, a team that came into the game 9-2, and Western won 49-28, going away, winning the East Division, or whichever division they're in the Sun Conference USA. It's Conference USA that they're in. They have a championship game this Saturday, and they earned the right to play at home against Southern Mississippi, that old foe from people that remember U of L in another conference. Used to play Southern Miss all the time. And famously, when Brett Favre was there, I remember being at Cardinal Stadium to see that game. But anyway, Western's playing Southern Miss on Saturday at noon. It'll be on ESPN2 if you don't get down there. I don't know. Right now, it doesn't look like I'm going, but I'll certainly be watching that one on TV. And one thing I wanted to mention in sports from one of our former guests, Katie George, has just had an outstanding senior season as a volleyball player at the University of Louisville. Katie was on the show. You know, she is the beauty queen who won Miss Kentucky and competed in the Miss USA pageant. She's a heck of a good volleyball player. She was the player of the year in the Atlantic Coast Conference. U of L won the league. And you can catch them this weekend at Cardinal Arena on campus. The U of L women's volleyball team has games scheduled in the NCAA tournament. So this is all big news for U of L, and congratulations to Katie on what's going down for her in her life as she concludes her college career as a volleyball player. Of course, we should also mention football. You know, it's already something that UK fans are trying to forget about. But there was the UofL versus UK game last Saturday at Lexington at Commonwealth Stadium. And the fallout from, if you don't know, of course you know, but UofL came back from a 24-7 deficit to win by 14 against UK. UK putting in maybe the worst performance of a football team in a game that counted, that meant something that I can remember. And the fallout for UK is you know, there's some people calling for Mark Stoops' job. The athletic director expressed his support for Stoops, and a lot of the media dug up and acknowledged that they can't really fire Stoops. It would cost the University of Kentucky some $15 million. $15 million. To get rid of their head football coach, even if he's ineffective. And next year, you know, the thing is, this was their year to do well. And they finished 5-7. Next year, they got a tougher schedule, a lot of things going against them. And, you know, I'd be surprised if they do as well as 5-7 next year. But we'll see. They also announced that Patrick Toles, their quarterback for most of the year, is transferring, getting out of town, realizing that he's not going to he wasn't going to have much of a shot at getting his job back. The same for Will Gardner of UofL, who announced this week that he was transferring. Will started, a bunch of games last year. And I think Lamar Jackson is the future for the University of Louisville football program, which will be going to a bowl game, probably the Sun Bowl from everything I hear. I went to the Sun Bowl with Tennessee back in the late 80s. When was that? That was 83, I guess. It's a great place, great bowl. UofL fans, if they do go to the Sun Bowl, you know, you should try to make that trip. It's a very unique place. And also, you know, I think Western is going to go most likely to a December 26th game. I think probably the Heart of Dallas Bowl in Dallas. So that catches you up on sports and everything. I got one more story before we get to Liz Dahl that I want to mention real quickly. John Yarmuth, who's been on this show, and is a member of Congress. He made a big speech about how great Steve Beshear has been for our state in Congress this week. And Beshear, who, you know, I've not had on the show, but, you know, I don't know how he's going to go down in history. I got to admit that I've never been a fan of him. He got into office by promising that he'd get the lottery, that he'd get casino gaming, not the lottery, but he'd get casino gaming through the legislature, and promised that he would do it by his sheer force of leadership. And now people have forgotten about that. They don't realize he never got it done. He didn't get a lot of other things done, but he has done some good things. You know, he did do the Obamacare, the healthcare system is in place, and all to his credit, he stood up for gay rights, although he did miss the mark in that lawsuit against, oh, what was that? Jack Conway was refused to defend the lawsuit for Kentucky's gay marriage law that was eventually struck down and cost the state a lot of money. Mixed record, I would say, for Governor Beshear. He's going to get a lot of plaudits from people like John Yarmuth and the Democratic side. But you're also hearing, I read a story this week about this happens every time there's a change in administration, which involves a different party, that Beshear is leaving the cupboard bare for Governor Matt Bevin when he comes in. And, you know, you're just going to have to choose what you believe. I don't know that there's an impartial source that can tell you if how Beshear is leaving the state. But that's going to be the subject of a lot of stories coming up the next few weeks as we head toward Christmas. And I am very excited about Christmas, not only because I get my cast off 2 days before, but just because I get excited about Christmas. It's great. Look forward to watching some Christmas-oriented things on TV, listening to all that Christmas music and all that stuff. And thinking about travel. And thinking about travel means I got a chance to talk to an expert in travel, and that's Liz Dahl, who runs the Boomer Travel Patrol. It's a website she created a couple of years ago and is all about travel for the baby boomer generation. That's people like me, born before 1964 and after 1946. Liz has a colorful history and was, in fact, the chief of staff for former First Lady Phyllis George Brown way back in from 1979 to 83. And that was a what I think was a great time. Governor Brown, my formative years of following politics, he was a hero of mine. I really thought he was a great governor. So anyway, we talk about that, but mostly about travel. Here's my interview with Liz Dahl.
No matter how young and healthy you are, life can be full of unpleasant surprises. And without health insurance, even a short hospital stay could set you back thousands of dollars. If you qualify for expanded Medicaid, you can get coverage through Passport Health Plan. Find out if you qualify. Call 855-459-6328 or go online at kynect.ky.gov. Choose Passport, the plan that takes the time to care.
And I want to thank my next guest for coming over to my house while I'm laid up like a cripple. But Liz Dahl, welcome to the show.
Well, thanks, Rick. I'm happy to be here.
Well, it's great to have you. Now, you know, I've got this thing going on with my leg. We're baby boomers, right?
Yes,
so
we are.
Our bodies fall apart.
Yeah, sadly, that happens. Yeah, I don't like to admit it, but it does.
Well, certainly, I've heard about you for a long time, and am very interested in what you do. And I mentioned baby boomers because you latched onto or found a niche of people who need the same thing, right?
I did. I did my research. You know, I have been booking travel for a long time. In addition to having had a PR firm, I booked travel for quite a while, and I noticed that there was something missing for people in my demographic, and that was variety. So I decided to start a website for travel for baby boomers called Boomer Travel Patrol.
Oh, cool. Okay. So, I'm right in the middle. I'm 55. I'm right where you need to be.
Yep.
Why should I go there, and what's the benefit of it?
Well, first of all, it's free.
Okay.
And
it's
chock full of information, you know. So we're just trying to offer information to people from the perspective of fellow baby boomers who travel and have traveled. My patrol, which why we're called the Boomer Travel Patrol, consists of people that are all baby boomers that talk about different areas of travel, like for instance, I'm hotel patrol. We have a pet patrol. We have a special needs patrol. We have a globetrotter. We have an RV patrol. We cover, you know, like all, we can't cover everything. You know, we
right.
try to cover as many different areas, but we also have a guest patrol. So various people come in as a guest and offer additional information. So we just want to let baby boomers know that there's more out there for them beside what is being marketed to them, mostly bus tours and cruises.
Okay.
And, you know, they're fine, but that's not all that's out there.
But so, okay, this you're based in Louisville, obviously, but
right.
you travel a lot. And this website just, I guess it's been kind of drawn a lot of attention.
It has, thank goodness.
Even outside of Louisville, I guess.
Oh, well, our visitors are from all over the world. We have probably, I checked the other day, we probably had about 25 different countries that are visitors to our site.
Wow.
Which is pretty amazing. Our patrol is also from all parts of the world. Our sports patrol lives in England. He writes for the London Times, and he's a former cricket player. Our
okay.
Globetrotter lives in Australia. She travels Southeast Asia solo as a woman, and she's a farmer in Queensland.
Wow.
So, you know, we try to cover everything. And
yeah.
and as a result, our viewership and our readership is from all over the world.
And a lot, and so you I guess you live, what do they say, walk the walk, talk the talk. You live it. You go on a lot of trips?
I do. I go on a lot of trips. I have gone on a lot of trips. I've been a travel agent, and I am still a travel agent.
Okay.
Even though we don't sell any trips on our website, we just provide information, I continue to sell so that I can stay current in what is working and not working in the travel industry and what people
okay.
are looking for. So
okay.
that keeps me.
So give me an example of where you've been recently.
Well, actually,
I'm itching to go. I've been laid up all this. I'm going to go somewhere.
Well, the world's a pretty big place, but I'll tell you where I've been sent recently. I was sent to the Central California coast to do the Pacific Wine Trail.
Okay.
Which was very interesting. I was a guest of the California Highway 1 Discovery Route, and they sent me in. And, you know, most of us, when we go to California, we go to L.A. or San Francisco. But where I went is exactly halfway between those two points.
Wow.
There's a place called Morro Bay, M-O-R-R-O, Morro Bay. And what you can fly into San Francisco or L.A., it'll take you the same amount of time to get there. And not only is it a beautiful area and an interesting area and very boomer-friendly and multi-generational friendly, the drive, whether you're coming up from L.A. or down from San Francisco to see the beautiful Pacific coastline on one side and the majestic mountains on the other side, it's just a thrill, you know. And then in that area is Hearst Castle. If you've never been, it needs to be on everyone's bucket list.
Okay.
Because it was built in the 1930s. It's fascinating. It's beautiful. The gardens are incredible, and it's just hard to believe that, you know, it's such a treasure here.
Sure.
In our country. When I got back from there, they sent me, not these people, but someone else from San Francisco sent me to Riviera Maya to cover a property called Generations Riviera Maya that was built specifically for multi-generational travel. This is a new trend and buzzword in the business, because mostly now people, baby boomers, are grandparents, many of them. Mm-hmm. So they like to take their kids and grandkids on vacation.
Sure.
So a lot of areas and properties now are gearing to bring all these generations together to and provide things for all three generations to do.
Wow. Well, that sounds fun. I would, you know, I guess that's what you do. You keep up with trends. Now, do people, do tourist areas, they invite you to come?
Well, in this case, they did.
That sounds like a perk to me.
Yeah, it's definitely a perk. But, you know, you have, it's the same thing. I went as a writer and as a travel agent. Many times we go on something called FAM trips, which are familiarization trips. And, you know, they bring you down and you see 100 things in one day, but it helps you understand different areas, you know, because you cannot have been everywhere.
Right.
And so these kinds of trips help you get a personal view. And then also I get feedback from my clients, you know, that I trust and can spread that information around as well.
Okay. Well, that sounds like something I want to do. I want to go on some free trips and come back and write about it, right?
That's right. That's right. And you do have to write about it when you get back. They hold your feet to the fire on that.
But your site is, I guess there's new content all the time?
Every week, yeah. We have about 850 original articles on the website from all members of the patrol. But in addition to that, there is a toolbar toward the top where it says about us and press and contact and all of that. There are two tabs that people should pay attention to. One is news, because that changes daily. You can click on that, and they are news feeds from different sources like CNN, the London Telegraph, about different things that are going on in the travel industry.
Okay.
So that changes daily. And then we have a section called destinations. And if you click on that, a map of the world pops up. Under the map of the world are all the continents of the world. And say you are interested in Europe, you click on that, then all of the countries in Europe pop up. And say you're interested in Italy, you click on Italy, and you can literally spend hours researching what there is to do.
Sure.
And this is for every country in the world.
Wow.
And that's on our site.
Well, that sounds great. And it's called boomertravelpatrol.com.
Correct.
Okay. And I hope our listeners will all check that out. I wanted to switch gears and talk a little bit about your very interesting history. I know we're getting ready to have a new governor, an outsider, move in, and it sort of reminds you a little bit of around 1980, right?
Oh, yeah. I was there in quite a unique capacity. I was brought in to be the first chief of staff for a first lady, and in this case it was Phyllis George Brown. So,
right. And she was the most, you know, the first, like, really glamorous first lady in Kentucky. And it brought a lot of attention to our state, right?
Oh yes, good and bad. No, mostly good. It was unique. It was different. I mean, it was unique for the state. It was certainly unique for me. You know, it was not a position I've ever been in, and I learned quite a bit about government, about the White House, Hollywood, because that administration was everywhere, and I was lucky enough to be able to participate in so many things. I was also head of the Kentucky Film Foundation when I was there, so there were trips to Hollywood, getting people to come and make movies here, and you know, so it was definitely a job of a lifetime.
Yeah, well, it sounds like, and you were telling me that you even got that Phyllis was on NFL Today back then.
Well, she was the first female sportscaster.
Yeah.
In the business. So, yeah, so I got to travel with her to New York on many occasions. Jimmy the Greek, Irv Cross, Brent Musburger, and, you know, you'd have to be a baby boomer to remember all of those.
That's right. Well, it's been a long time ago, but, you know, the whole media business has changed so much in those 35 years, I guess. So.
Absolutely, yeah. It's a whole different ballgame. You know, the social media has changed everything, uh-huh. Certainly from a PR perspective.
And you went from that to having your own PR business right here in Louisville for a long time.
30 years, yes.
Wow.
Yeah. And I had a lot of interesting clients. You know, many of them were from New York and L.A. in the beginning, and then a lot of local clients. But I still kept a toe in the travel business,
yeah.
And I just never lost that passion for travel.
Well, good. Well, it's great. Well, winter's coming up, so we all got to get out of town. What's your next trip?
I think probably somewhere in the Caribbean.
Ah.
Yeah. There's so many, you know, there are so many choices. It's so hard to pick any mm-hmm. particular place. The one thing I would say about baby boomers, they spend $157 billion a year on travel. So they are a traveling bunch. But they also have choices as far as not only places to go, but times of year that they can travel. Because a lot of them are retiring or are already retired, and they have a little more flexibility. So they don't always have to do the most expensive trips and the most expensive times of year.
Sure, sure. Well, flexibility is key, and it's fun, right? I mean, that's what it's all about. Everybody wants to have fun.
You know, our tagline is Boomer Travel Patrol, travel from the fun side of 50.
There you go. Well, that's a good one to close on. Thanks, Liz, for coming by and being on the Rusty Satellite Show.
Thanks for having me.
And that will do it for another episode of the Rusty Satellite Show, where you'll find the most interesting people in the Ville each and every week. Right here on the show. Glad to be a part of the Louisville.am network run by my friend Dan Vonderhyde. I get plenty of help putting the show together, and especially in this week from my girlfriend Paula, who's certainly taken care of me, and I just want to thank her publicly for all she's done for getting me through the surgery, but also for a lot of the other folks that helped me. Jason Smith does all the web work on LouisvilleKY.com and RustySatelliteShow.com and your weekly email newsletter. I hope you're a subscriber. If not, you can send me a note. I'll get you on the list. And a reminder, it's time to get serious about shopping for Christmas. A lot of I'm really doing well because I've been home and I've done a lot of online shopping. Done most of my shopping this year for Christmas presents online. Paula likes to go out and fight the madness of Black Friday, and she did that, and I can't wait to see what she got. But it's really easy to shop online these days. I've really enjoyed it, you know, and I hope you're getting all your gifts bought. I still try to save something to do on Christmas Eve, because I like to go out to the stores on Christmas Eve and at least buy something. So anyway, that's what we're thinking. We're heading down the home stretch. We'll be back next week, and we're going to have another great show for you on the Rusty Satellite Show. And encourage you in the meantime to check out LouisvilleKY.com on a daily basis. A lot of good stuff there. Jackie Bentley's posting a lot of stuff, and I'm too. I have all this free time. So, anyway, that'll do it for the Rusty Satellite Show. We'll see you next week.
Thanks for listening to the Rusty Satellite Podcast with your host, Rick Redding. Next week, Rick will be right back here on Louisville.am with another stellar lineup of great guests. You can let Rick know what you think by sending an email to rick@louisvilleky.com. He's on Twitter, too, at Ricky Redding. For more information about the show, including photos of Rusty Satellite Show guests, go to LouisvilleKY.com, the pulse of the city.
Running out.